5 minutes.
Let's do this. This is good. You'll be thankful this Thanksgiving, right? He hardly said anything. It was awesome. Oh, memories. All right, we're going to look at John. If you have a Bible, turn to it. John chapter 3, verse 1. And it's the Nicodemus story. So if you're familiar with the scriptures, you'll know it. But I'll read it for you, and then we'll go over it once or twice, and we'll finish it up. Because at the end, we're going to discover that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's a good thing, right?
Amen.
That's an awesome thing. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. It was such a gift to be able to be a part of this and to give thanks with two ladies and to just hear them say that they love you and they want to show that they love you. And it's another step for them. I was listening to the enthusiasm in their voice, not only up here but after, and their excitement in their faith and walking in it. It's a real disruption in our lives, God. You really cause disruption in our lives, and yet you change us and you make us new. You make us better. So I pray that you open our eyes to that this morning, because God, we long to glorify you this morning. We long to glorify you by becoming Christ-like. We want to glorify you becoming Christ-centered. We want to glorify you by becoming Spirit-empowered. And Father, we want then to be able to make you known among us, around us, and beyond us. So take us and use us the way you would. In Jesus' name, amen. Almost finished the message with that prayer right there. Is it 5 minutes yet? I don't know. All right, let's read it. It says, verse 1, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he was one of the leaders of Judaism, and he was in the center group, sort of. And they were big. They liked to... I'm already getting one yawn. I got to move it up a bit. Okay, keep going. Okay, he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with you. Interesting, because this teacher was the teacher of the law. He's well-respected. He's really up there, right? He's ranking pretty high up there. As a matter of fact, Jesus even says he's one of those guys. He even recognizes him as being a teacher, as being someone that was well-known, maybe famous even, in their circles. And here he comes, but he's calling Jesus a teacher. Jesus has no qualifications to be a teacher, other than he's the Son of God. But he has no qualifications. And so why would this guy even call him teacher? There's something going on in his heart already, right? When Nicodemus came to see Jesus. I wonder, is something going on in your heart today as you're entering into God's presence? Do you wonder if he's a little bit more than you ever dreamed of or imagined, and that he wants to change your life today? So the story goes on. Here we go, verse 3. Jesus replied, verily, verily, he's making a real strong statement, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. We have people here that have been born again, and of course, there's a Greek word there that's actually used that can say born from above, but for some reason, Nicodemus quickly said, how can someone be born when they are old? He said, how can you be born again? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Now, was he being kind of, I'm wondering, or was he being sarcastic to Jesus? We're not really sure. But he was making a point, and he was wondering what was going on. But interestingly enough, Jesus kind of skips on this, and he goes right into verse 5, and he says, very truly I tell you. Are you listening to me, Nick? Sorry, Nick, not referring to my son, but Nicodemus? Are you listening to me, Nick? He's never listening to me. Are you listening to me, Nicodemus? I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to spirit, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. He barely even pays attention to what Nicodemus asked. Nicodemus wants to go into debate like we do, right? He wants to talk about, well, how did these miracles happen? We saw you do miracles. We actually were wondering why you had to chase people out of the synagogue, although we kind of liked that. That was a good idea, but we're a little concerned about that because that's where we rule. That's where we have control. What are you doing, and what are these miracles? Are they really divine? And so, but Jesus, he doesn't want to debate. He's not going to debate. He is the Son of God. He wants to take him another step, right? Let's not just debate. Let's talk about what you need to do. You need to do something to enter into the kingdom. And by the way, he represents a lot of study gone into the Old Testament, right? He follows the Torah very closely. He leads the worship. He's in control of things. He works with the sacrifices. He's the guy that knows everything. But Jesus wants to push him to another level. Nicodemus believes that, yes, there is a kingdom coming. So when Jesus says kingdom, he gets that word. But the kingdom is coming because someone's going to sit on the throne again, right? And we're going to have a king there, and we're going to rule, and we're going to be put back in our right spot, God's chosen people. Well, no, that's not true. Jesus is trying to get his attention. The only way you're going to be part of this kingdom is if you're born in the Spirit, if you're born from above, if you're born because of what Jesus has done in your life. It's not about following the rules, because that's what they thought. It's not about doing all the sacrifices. That's what they thought. It's not about doing all the right things, taking care of all the right people. That's really good stuff, but that's not what it's all about. It's actually about letting the Holy Spirit transform you. Any of you guys ever been into any virtual reality stuff before? Okay, I'll move real quick here. Or how about augmented reality? That's a cool one, right? Maybe? Yeah. Oh, come on. I was reading about this stuff, trying to figure it out a little bit. I have no idea what it's all about. But what I'll tell you is, when you see these guys who got the masks on and they're doing the virtual reality, they literally go into another world, right? They're into another world, and they're enjoying it. Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. But they're in another world. And what defines that world are the makers of that world, right? The people who have set up the rules, set up the what's going to happen. And so that's what defines the rules of it. So when you go into that, it's if you're turning off the world around you. Now, it could be fun if you're going to go skydiving or something like that. You want to experience that. But it's just a virtual reality, right? It's not reality. So could Nicodemus be kind of like this? Could he have his lenses on that literally block the world up from him, the real world, so that he's defining it in the way that he has set it up, right? Oh, they actually had virtual reality back then. Oh, by the way, I had virtual reality every time I was in school. I was in another world, trust me. And I was not wearing glasses. It was just what I did. So it was a challenge. But virtual reality, or our reality that we self-impose upon our world, it's not always right if it's not defined by what God is doing in our hearts. And so you're actually following the wrong rules. And you need to make a radical change and let God turn it around. That's what he's saying to Nicodemus. You got to make a radical change. I don't even care if you're doing augmented reality so that you're kind of putting it onto the world and you're trying to define it and figure out things that are happening. Like, for example, augmented reality is kind of cool, right? Because we know that it can really advance our society. It can help us with medical things. It can help us with learning. It can help us with so many things. You can look at something, and let's just say they do get to the point, kind of like Google Glasses, but if they get to the point that we can put contact lenses in and have little earbuds, and we can look at something, and it can define to us what it is, right? If we can look around and we have our own Google right there, we don't have to say Google it. We can just look and it'll give us the answers that we need. It'll translate things for us. Maybe we're talking to someone, it'll translate their language for us. Isn't this awesome? But the thing is, no matter how far we go, everything that we do is defined by what we choose to define it by. We've set the rules. We've put in the definitions. We've done all the things for ourselves. So no matter how much better we get, we still require the Holy Spirit to actually show us the way to live. I love the stuff that's going to happen that's going to improve our society, but please, like Nicodemus, don't get caught in your own reality. Get caught in the kingdom of God and his Holy Spirit. And when you put those lenses on, or when it sort of takes over your life, you become a whole new person. The way you look at people becomes different. The way you translate things become different. It's no longer just trying to do something right. It's actually doing something because he empowers us even. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not just going to get definitions. I'm not just going to get some clarity of what this is about. No, no, no. He's going to give me power, right? He's going to change me. I'm going to be able to do something new. And the person I hate, I'm going to somehow learn how to love. Not because I'm forcing myself, but because Jesus is working through me. So this Thanksgiving, understand this, no virtual reality will take care of the dinner I'm going to have right after this. It's going to be awesome. I can look at any dinner and it's going to kind of look good, but I'm going to enjoy eating it. I'm going to enjoy partaking in it, actually taking it in and swallowing it and talking to my friends and spending time with them and learning about them. That's reality. We can get confused and backed up and just get all concerned about definition and arguments about what is right and wrong and how to define stuff around us. Let the Holy Spirit be a part of your Thanksgiving today, please. Don't be satisfied with the virtual reality. Actually enter into it. And by the way, the reality that Christ has for you in his kingdom is messy, dirty, disruptive, all sorts of stuff. But it brings life.
Amen. Yes.
Don't ignore it. Go get it. Not only does it bring life, but he empowers you to experience it and go through it. And as I said, at the very end, it's open for everybody. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish. We're not going to die. We'll have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. You are a gracious God. I have so much to be thankful for. To have my children home, to have my wife with me, to know I have parents that love me, to be able to go home and eat a meal with lots of friends, to have people who sometimes are struggling in life and to actually be honored to be a part of that. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for the way you're working through us. We ask that we would be born from above, born in your spirit, and that the fresh breath, the living wind, could blow through this place, and we would experience the life that you have for us. God, we surrender ourselves to you, and I pray in Jesus' name.